In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, our Lord Christ says. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. To understand what Christ our Lord teaches here to his disciples, and which he wishes us to understand, we must first recall what comes immediately after. He begins to recount the second table of the law of the Ten Commandments, but teaches the law in a way that leaves the crowds listening stunned. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment." But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whosoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. And again, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." And so on and so forth. Each command cited by Christ is not relaxed, but it is expounded with the severest spiritual weight. Sometimes we think that the law given in the Old Testament was harsh and strict and burdensome, but when Christ comes, the law is made light and easy. But it is not so, Christ says. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. When he who gave the law to Moses on Sinai then comes in the flesh and interprets the law for all to hear, the law's accusations are not dulled. They're not muffled. They are not lightened. No, the holy law of God thunders louder and clearer from the words of Jesus than ever before. No one is righteous. No, not one. Every mouth must be stopped, and the whole world must be held accountable to God. The Pharisees were no slouches. I don't think we have to disbelieve the Pharisee who prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." In their outward obedience to the law, they do pretty well. Of course, they are not perfect. But if we were grading on a curve, the Pharisees would certainly be at the top of their class. And yet Jesus says to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within you are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." He continues, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." The Pharisees' problem is not that they are legalists. It is that they are legalists, and yet they are not righteous enough. They keep the outward form of the law, but they do not understand the law, and they do not keep it in spirit and in truth. They do not understand the law. They know the commands, they know the rules, they know the regulations and the statutes, but they do not understand what the law truly demands. For the law is not just a checklist of rules to follow. In and of itself, the law is nothing other than an expression of God's own changing nature and his eternal will. That's precisely why the law cannot pass away or be abolished, because it is nothing but a reflection of God's own nature and will. And who is God? Well, the Holy Scriptures tell us quite plainly that he is love. And so it is that the law is nothing other than the revelation and the definition and the shape of true love. So Christ our Lord says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The law is love, and Christ is its incarnation for the sake of salvation. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. The Pharisees do not understand the law or what it demands. First, because they do not understand that the law is love, and so much like their fathers before them, those who were rebuked by Isaiah in our Old Testament reading, they keep the outward ceremonial law scrupulously. They follow it to the letter, which is not part of the eternal law, but they neglect the works that God commands above the others. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites," our Lord thunders. "For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." In the second place, the Pharisees do not understand the law, do not understand that the Lord, who sees the hearts of men, judges the hearts of men, not just the works of our hands. And so it is not enough to simply keep the outward form of the law while the heart is full of darkness and all kinds of uncleanness. It is not enough to refrain from murdering your brother, for God sees the hatred you bear against your brother in the depths of your inner being. And it is not enough not to commit adultery outwardly, for the Lord sees the heart defiled by lust and judges it wanting. The law demands not just outward obedience, but that our very being be conformed to the image of God that we were created in. For he is love, and so we are to love, and we are created for love. We are to love him with all our heart and soul and mind, our whole selves. To those who wish to be saved by works of the law, Christ firmly closes that door. "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." There is no way of salvation that direction. Even the scribes and the Pharisees, those most scrupulous and conscientious observers of Torah, cannot be saved. They aren't righteous enough. Indeed, the law promises, "Do this and you will be saved," but the works of the law are never done. And he who wants to be saved by the law must keep the whole law. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law and do them." When the law is preached, every mouth is stopped, every boast silenced, and every person held accountable before God. And so how then are we to be saved? "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets," Jesus says. "I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." There is one whose righteousness does exceed the whitewashed righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, whose tomb is empty and whose life streams forth. He who is the image of the invisible God and the exact imprint of his nature, the law of love, incarnate as a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Do you want to see what the law looks like fulfilled? What perfect love, perfect man, the perfect eternal will of God revealed looks like? Then you look to the cross, you cast your eyes at Jesus hanging upon the tree, pouring his life out for the life of the world. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, John says. We were under the curse of the law, but Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. He is the law, and he is the fulfillment, the righteousness of God, of which there is no higher righteousness. And he fulfills it for us. He fulfilled it, every last iota, every last dot, on our behalf. And he gives his righteousness to us by faith. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I tell you that your righteousness does exceed theirs. Exceeds theirs as much as God's own righteousness exceeds it. Because God's righteousness is yours in Christ Jesus. He redeems you. He forgives you. Gives you new life and restores you to the image of God that was lost in the fall. He dwells in you so that you are not the whitewashed tombs of dead men's bones, but you are filled with his life. You are the light of the world. So what should you do then? Give thanks and loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the straps of the yoke, let the oppressed go free, share your bread with the hungry, and so on and so forth. Not out of fear. Not out of fear of the accusations of the law, for Christ has taken away the law's curse, but from the love that flows out from you, from the grace that you have received. You have been set free by the free forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And in this freedom, you are truly free to obey the law of love in all your vocations and your callings. So you can reflect. How did anger rise in my heart today? Knowing that I am forgiven, how can Christ's peace shape my response tomorrow? What grudge do I hold against my neighbor? How do I bring it before the Lord and let it go because he has forgiven me? Where did lustful thoughts intrude? How does Christ, who has made me pure, redirect my thoughts and my gaze to honor others? Who is it that has need that God has placed in my life? And what has God equipped me with to help them? In the name of Jesus, who fulfills the law for us, amen. You may rise for the offertory.